All right, hour number two. And coming up at the bottom of this hour at 4:30, we'll talk with Dan Wolkin, USA Today. We'll get in some college football. Here's what I do know about college football. Regardless of what happens this weekend, you are going to have controversy. All right? So we're going to have controversy when the Final Four teams are announced. We are going to have nothing but controversy in college football. And, again, is a four-team playoff better than no playoff? Yeah, it is. But is it a perfect system? No, it's an imperfect system, and I don't see that changing. You're always going to have a team, such as last year, when you know a team feels that, hey, we earned it. We earned it on the field, and we're not a Final Four team. That's just the way it goes. Now, to that callers that we had before the end of the first hour, Washington last year was a Final Four team because they went undefeated, and their schedule wasn't exactly the toughest schedule in college football, but they were stronger than Wisconsin. So if Wisconsin beats Ohio State this week, will the committee take them? And I got to believe that they will take them. I believe that they will.
You know, Grant, as I look at this, right now it's four-team playoff. But to be honest with you there, it looks like you could probably cut it off at 10. And the reason I say that is because imagine this. Imagine if Power 5 conferences, ACC, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12 and SEC all had one team that represented for the playoff. And then after that, the best teams in the country, because Clemson, Miami, Oklahoma, TCU, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Auburn, and Georgia, that's eight. Alabama and Penn State are only other two in the top 10 there on the outside looking in. There has to be a way that you get a little more representative of the talent and what's out there in the country, whether that is the Big 10 or the Big 12 or whatever it is, as opposed to just four teams, because with that, there will always be someone on the outside looking in.
Yeah, there, and even if you went to 10, you'd still have someone that thinks that they were screwed. And then the other thing, and again, I always go back to this, because the majority of players that we're going to watch in Division I college football, the majority of them don't end up in the National Football League. So then you're asking the players that aren't going to be in the NFL that are going to college to, number one, you know, play football, and number two, get an education, or number one, go get an education, and number two, play football. I think at these Division I schools we're talking about, it's probably play football and then go get a degree. You know, at some point, you are going to college, right? You know
yes.
what I'm saying? So
yep.
that I don't know how you work all of that out. All right, let's get to Glenn. Glenn, you're on with Grant and Doug. All right, he's gone. I want to talk to you, Doug, about you know, they say that the NFL season starts on Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving is in the rearview mirror, and the NFL schedule now really begins. And I'm talking about the teams that are fighting for playoffs. I mean, Philadelphia looks great. Minnesota looks great. I mean, those two teams are going to win their respective divisions. NFC South up for grabs right now. You've got several teams. You know, you got to include Atlanta in there with New Orleans and Carolina. You know, you look at the NFC West. The Rams currently are in the driver's seat, except for this. They've already lost to Seattle once. If they lose up in Seattle, then Seattle would have the tiebreaker if they end up tied. So that is still unsettled. In the AFC, it looks like we have two teams, Doug. We have New England and Pittsburgh, and they're going to play in the regular season, which will probably determine home field advantage. And there's a good chance we're going to see the same matchup in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, you know, Pittsburgh is a box of chocolates, Grant. You don't know really what you're going to get. It seems like against they play to the level of their competition a bit, and it's just kind of a riddle that you don't know about. Now, you look at the Patriots. They started off a little bit slow, two losses, you know, at Gillette Stadium, and you're thinking, oh, man, the sky is falling, but they've since righted things, and I would agree with you. Now, could you get surprise out of the AFC West and these Chiefs figure it out and the Chargers shock somebody? Yeah, those things are possible. But with the exception of that, I think the Jaguars kind of came back to reality. And I would say I'd agree with you in the AFC. The Pittsburgh Steelers and the Patriots look to be leading right now.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about the AFC West and just going by, you know, past several years and looking at teams, I don't have a lot of confidence, and I did at the beginning of the year, and they were my pick. I thought they were the best team in the division.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they're not close to playing good football. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's not like they've just lost some nail biters and they're, although yesterday it was a 16-10 game and they had the ball with a chance to, you know, win the game on the final drive. But when I look at the Kansas City Chiefs, I don't think they're going to win this week when they go on the road and take on the New York Jets. Then they have Oakland at home. Then they have the Chargers at home. They have Miami at home, and they have Denver at home. So if I was just going to look at the games where I'm like, okay, the last two games, Miami at home and at Denver, they should be able to win. But you know what? Jets are playing very competitively. That's yep. not – the Chiefs don't really have – I just don't see it happening for them. Now, when I look at the Chargers, Doug, okay, see, here's why I like the Chargers. They play Cleveland this week. Like, I don't think there's any way they lose. Then they have Washington at home. And that's going to be a high-scoring game, but they're better than Washington. Then they're at Kansas City for a game which may very well decide the division. Then they're at the Jets on Christmas Eve. And then here's where I like the Chargers, Doug. They're at home, the final game of the season, not that home means anything where they play. They got the Raiders, and they already beat the Raiders once.
Yeah, and I would say right at this particular time, they have the best quarterback in the division. I think he's gonna go out. He knows how to rah-rah his guys. You see him very passionate, so they're gonna be up. They're gonna be ready to play. And it's been a slow build for them. I want to say they started out 0-4, and all of a sudden they've figured some things out. So that last game versus the Raiders could mean something. Obviously versus the Jets, you mentioned a week before that, and then that Chiefs Chargers matchup on December 16th will be a big one.
All right, here's the way I look at the Raiders' schedule, all right? I think they beat the Giants this week. They'll go to 6-6. They play at Kansas City the week after. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you this is the way I think this plays out. If the Chiefs lose to the Jets this weekend, I think they're done, and I think the Raiders will go in and beat Kansas City in Kansas City. If the Chiefs are able to beat the Jets, it changes their final 4 weeks of the season around. In other words, I think if they're able to get a win and stop the bleeding and then come home and have everything to play for in that divisional game against the Raiders, I think that they'll win. Then I think that the game that the Raiders have against Dallas, which looked very difficult, now all of a sudden doesn't look as difficult. You have no Elliott. You have the Cowboys who are in a free fall. Then you're at Philadelphia on Christmas Day. Philadelphia will have to they won't have home field clinched by then, in my opinion. So that will be a big game. They're not going to win there. And then, Doug, we just talked about it, the final game of the year at the Chargers.
I think you're spot on across the board, Grant. That Cowboy one is going to be interesting because you got to go and you got to win that one. But the Eagles, it being on Christmas, they're going to come ready to play, unfortunately, for the Raiders.
All right. We'll take the timeout. We'll come right back. Grant Napier, Doug Christie on Sports 1140 KHDK. Kings and Warriors tonight, no Steph Curry, no Kevin Durant, and in all likelihood, no Andre Iguodala. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Why don't we check in with James? Hello, James.
Grant, one thing I want to see from tonight's game is I want to see Buddy Hield continue on his performance. I know he didn't. I don't know if you mentioned it yet, but what he did on Saturday night was pretty electrifying for the fans. And one thing that I did notice was that the last three or four plays are all designed for him to shoot the ball because he had the hot hand. But the last possession, I think that by the time the play developed, the referee was already at the 4 or 5 count. I think they just got pretty nervous inbound the ball. And they still had one timeout left. And I think that's where the coach maybe should have drawn up another play because the Clippers' defense was all ready for him to shoot the ball to tie the game.
Doug, what do you think about that?
Interestingly enough, I'm going to go back and look at the final play, I think, tonight, Grant, on the pregame. But I thought that when Buddy caught the ball, if he would have caught the ball ready to shoot, he would have been able to exploit the defense. What I mean by that is I think he caught it on the run. If you catch it ready to shoot, you make a valid point, caller, that he was so hot. DeAndre Jordan would have jumped out of his shoes. He would have probably been able to get the shot off. And with DeAndre's size and athleticism, him catching the ball, trying to create a shot, wasn't going to work for him. And those are learning things that you getting put in that position, and it'll happen for Buddy. But he was definitely hot, no doubt.
One more thing for you, Grant. Have you bought tickets for this weekend's Raiders versus Giants game?
No, I have not, and I'm not going.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm going, in. I'm on, what's that?
You're not going?
I am not going to the game, no.
Okay.
I'm actually,
I didn't go to the Seahawks game either.
I'm actually flying back from Milwaukee. I will be getting in late. If the Giants were good, I would go to the game. I'm just going to sit at home and watch it on TV.
One thing I was, when I watched the Raiders game yesterday, I wasn't really that impressed with the team. It's not because of the fight and everything, but it's just, you know, you put up 14 points in the first half against this, a terrible defense, and then you only put 7 up in the fourth quarter, and you allow the other team to score 2 touchdowns late, and it looks like Denver could have possibly tied the game if they got that stop on the set of Cordell Patterson.
The Raiders, James, are not a good team. I don't know what else you have to do. I mean, the team's not very good, period. There's no, like, .. They're just not very good, period.
The division is still wide open, though, for anybody to win.
Yeah, it is still wide open, but that doesn't change the fact that they're not a good team. They're not a good team. They're just not a good team. Yes, the division's wide open. Any team with the exception of Denver, Kansas City, Oakland, and the Chargers could all win the division. Doesn't mean that the Raiders are a good team. They're not a good team. Even if they win the division, they're not a good team.
Do you think that maybe in offseason they have enough money to go out and get some key defensive players?
They better. Thanks for the call.
I can't think of the name of the team, Grant, but right off the, I want to say it was the Saints. They redid their defense from the draft, Grant. I mean, there are ways that you can do it without having to go and sign free agents, and you're going to have to focus. You're going to have to get some good picks. Some people are going to have to pan out for you, but if you're able to do that, you can change things around in a hurry. Marshawn Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk.
Yeah, they did
Marcus
a great job.
They did an awesome job.
Hey, Rick, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Hey, Grant, Doug, how you doing today?
What's happening?
Hey, not much. Hey, real quick, I will say this, though. At least the Raiders have the guts to tell the truth about how many people were at that pathetic game yesterday. Yeah, there were 53,000 maybe, but the 49ers saying there's 70,000? That's pathetic. That's a joke, man. Maybe 40.
The 49ers are telling you what the paid attendance is in terms of the actual attendance, and we all know that the paid attendance is full, and the actual attendance is maybe half of that. You're right.
Yeah, and what people on here don't get, that's not even a quarter to a half of what a real Division I college football game would attend. That's not even a half. It's a joke.
Can't argue with you. The horseshoe, what do they hold, Grant? They want to say they hold a bill there, 90,000, 100,000?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I know at the Big House in Michigan, hold over 100,000. At Michigan, they hold, I think, 107, 108, depending on what day it is. But, yes, I hear you.
One more thing, Grant. The NFL right now is at a crossroads where – you know, the behavior yesterday, the personal vendettas being taken out and all those things, it's just a waste of time. And anybody with a brain can see right through that crap that went on yesterday.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's horrible. It's an embarrassment. And people can make excuses for these guys' behavior. But the bottom line is they don't give a rip about anybody but themselves. And it's out of control right now.
I totally agree. I can't defend that. Michael Crabtree's actions on the field yesterday were despicable. And again, if you go by what the Broncos are saying, and I've looked at the video and I can't argue with them, Michael Crabtree punches a defensive back in the gut and then on the next play goes berserk on Tlaib. And then it's a bad look for the NFL, period. You're 100% correct. You think Michael Crabtree yesterday gave a damn about his teammates, about trying to win a big game for the division? No, it was all about his little petty nonsense with Tlaib, and you're 100% correct on that.
So my point being is the last caller and majority of these Raider fans around here, they don't understand that type of behavior and play. They're not going to win the division. They're not going to make the playoffs. It's a team sport. It's not about one guy going out there and taking care of personal vendettas. I mean, Doug can attest to this, of course, but that is just pathetically embarrassing.
Well, they're not going to the playoffs. They're not good enough. And so thank you for the call. I don't see any way they're going to the playoffs. They're just not good enough. When we come back, we'll talk some college football with Dan Wolkin from USA Today. That's next. All right, we are going to talk some college football in a few moments with Dan Wolkin from USA Today. While we wait for Dan, why don't we get into a caller, and it's Kevin. Kevin, we'll get to you before our interview. What's going on?
Yeah, I was wondering what your opinion was on Willie Cauley-Stein saying he wasn't going under the hoop because he was afraid of getting injured. Just what you think about that, if it has an effort issue.
I didn't hear. I didn't. Sorry, you got me there. I didn't hear what he said. Maybe you can help me, Doug, or I'm not sure what you're referring to.
No, I didn't hear that either.
I was wondering what you think about Willie Cauley-Stein saying.
I can't comment on it. I didn't hear him say that. Where did you hear that?
It was on the Dave Carmichael show that he was talking about his statement after the game.
Carmichael Dave show? I didn't hear him say that. Doug, did you hear him say that?
No, I didn't, but I think what he's talking about is, remember when Willie hurt his hand swinging at the backboard in the preseason? I think it was his rookie season. I think that had happened to him multiple times. So I think that might be what he's talking about, but I didn't hear the comment, no.
Okay, I was wondering what he was worried about, what injury he was worried about, and then the second thing is, you know, I mean, is he putting in enough effort to get rebounds? And do you guys see that as an issue?
Well, yeah, it's an issue. I don't know if it's effort, if it's, as Doug always likes to say, lack of Doug, what do you call that? You know, not studying the way the ball comes off the iron. But, Doug, yeah. I think you and I both agree, and so does the coach, that he should have more rebounds.
I just think Willie could definitely improve in that area just because he is so talented. If he understood how the shots were coming off of the 10 and the ability for him to be so athletic and so long, he could average 10, I would think, easily. But there has to be a different type of focus towards that as well.
Yeah, I think I'm really excited about his potential, and you know, I wish I would see it more on the court.
No doubt.
Well, his potential is there, but he's in his third year now, and I've always said I'm giving guys 3 years, so he has about 60 more games before his third year is up. And the word with Willie is consistency or lack thereof. He has to become a more consistent player on the floor, meaning that when Dave Yeager goes to Willie Cauley-Stein, he knows what he's going to get. We don't know what we're going to get night to night with Willie Cauley-Stein, and that's a little bit of a concern right now.
Yeah, and then I think another question is, eventually, as all these players get experience, who do you see as, you know, the players who will be putting in 25, 30 minutes a game and, you know, being the primary contributor at the end of the day?
You know, I'm not sure that coach knows that yet. I think that's what they're still trying to decide, try to figure out. Guys earn their time, show that they have the ability to compete at a really high level. There's a starter competitiveness and there's a bench mob competitiveness. And I think a guy like Willie has shown that he can be more consistent coming off the bench so far. Can he do that starting? Don't know. But he'll definitely. His three-point percentage and everything has skyrocketed since he went to the bench. So there's a lot of things that are being defined before we can really say who can play 25 minutes in the NBA on a night-to-night basis.
All right, let's get to Mike. You're on with Grant and Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Grant and Doug. How's it going, guys?
What's up?
Just want to ask you guys a few questions. The Clipper game, the turning point with that elbow that was reviewed as a flagrant foul but was a common foul. After that, along with Mo Williams going off, that seems to be the turning point in that game because the Kings almost had the Clippers. What do you guys think about that?
It was no doubt about it. It fired up the Clippers. It was a big momentum changer in the game. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, but at the same time, this is a mentality, and I was saying it on air that at the end of the second quarter, Kings with like 39 seconds made like a 3-0-4-0 run. It was something really nice to put them in a good position. And coming out, Grant knows this better than anybody, the first 3 to 5 minutes of that third quarter, even though the Kings scored a couple buckets, they were allowing buckets to get scored upon them. And that's the mentality that they have to take away and they have to learn. How do you put a team away? Because the Clippers were ready to run away. But the Kings didn't let them. They let them hang in.
Hey,
right.
Thanks for the call.
And along with the center for the Clippers, it seems after that they were all fired up. Doc Rivers is almost going to get a T. So if he gets a T, maybe that changes the game. we didn't have an answer for Mo Williams, and they just kind of muffled us out of that game.
Not Mo Williams. Mo Williams doesn't play for the Los Angeles Clippers. But here's the point that we're trying to make, okay? The Kings in that third quarter were just they were as bad as they've been all year. That may have been the worst quarter I've seen the Kings play this year. And we've seen some doozies, but that was a bad one.
Yeah, you know, 10 points, Grant, it's a tough one. And then the way that they were doing it, meaning that there was a lot of dribbling, not much passing and moving. It's like they didn't come out in the third quarter with the same sense of urgency and readiness to compete as they did in the first half.
You know, back to Willie Cauley-Stein, here's what happened after the game, and I didn't hear him say this. He said that he's dealing with a mental issue because of how often he has hurt his hands on the rim. And it sometimes holds him back from taking rebounds.
So Grant, what I would say to Willie, if I was talking to him, is I would say, I want you to do the same thing. I just want you to move away a little bit until you figure that out. Meaning, I want you to swing at the ball, but don't swing at the ball at the rim. Come 3 feet out and swing at it. I want those rebounds. I want you up. Instead of grabbing them, maybe you tip them. Whatever it is, I want the same aggressiveness, but there's a way to work within. I understand what you're going through because mental, whether it's a hurt in a knee, Grant, or a lot of things, mental issues come into play when you're out there and you're competing, but there's a way to still get what you need out there on the court.
He doesn't seem to have any issue with the rim when he's going in for showtime dunks.
This is true, Grant. I can't argue. Sometimes, you know, you come with facts. Okay.
Well, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
No, and that's the way you want to attack it. You know, the thing is, even if it is a mental issue with a knee or a hand or anything, what you can't do is you can't let it come into play. You got to attack like he attacks on dunks and different things, and you can't think about it. If something happens, it just happens. If you start thinking, yeah, you're going to be a second late is too late, and the guy's dunking it, he's putting it in, he's grabbing the rebound, they're going the other way, whatever it is. And with that type of athleticism and things that Willie has, he's got to get over that part for sure.
You know, I've been doing this for 30 years, and I've never heard a player say that before. Maybe they have, but I haven't heard it. Have you ever heard a player say that?
Well, not about the hand, but I've heard
about
it.
Yeah, about the hands.
Yeah, I've heard it about, knees and ankles.
Oh, yeah. I have too, but not hands.
Yeah, but it's a similar thing. You know, when he hit his hand on the backboard, Grant, and the bone popped out of his hand. So, you know, things like that happen. Could it be in your head? Yeah, it could. But at the same time, that's not going to be an excuse. You're going to have to figure out how to get over it. Otherwise, you know, if I have a problem with my knee, can't get over my knee. Oh, my God, my knee. Well, here's a seat on the bench. You work on your knee, and somebody else go in there and handle it.
Oh my gosh. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Still waiting for Dan Wolkin to call in from USA Today. And if we get a hold of him, we'll talk some college football. And we have a lot to talk about with college football.
It is going crazy in college football right now. I think, you know, these are those tipping points, Grant, at when you create something like the playoffs in four games. These are the tipping points because this year you got more. Normally it has been five, maybe six teams that are legitimately, they got a gripe. And now there are a few more, and you throw in an undefeated team who hasn't really played anybody, but they come from a Power 5 in Wisconsin, and you had a couple teams that were ranked number one in Georgia, and they got knocked off, and the number two in Miami, they get knocked off. There are a lot of different things going on. That's what makes it exciting.
All right, let's get to George. George Aron with Grant and Doug. Hello, George.
Thank you so much for taking my call. One of the reasons that the coaches, especially the last four or five coaches that the Kings had, keeps on changing their starting lineup is because for the last few years here, we don't really have a bona fide starters. So the coaches keeps on trying to plug different lineup to try to come up with a winning product. And the coaches, I personally do not want to be a coach of the Kings. Not too many people really want to.
Well, so George, let me tell you something. You're not a candidate to be. Hey, George, let me tell you something. You're not a candidate to be a coach of the Kings. And we already know why the coach is changing the lineup around. Do you have anything for us that maybe we are not aware of?
Well.
No, I didn't think so. Goodbye.
Goodness gracious, Grant, that turkey got on you, man. George.
No, so I didn't have any turkey. I had prime rib.
Oh, my bad. You didn't have any turkey on Turkey Day.
I did
day,
not.
Huh?
We went prime rib this year.
Didn't have any turkey on Turkey Day.
I mean,
leftovers. I mean,
no.
Napier, come on.
No, but let me tell you something. That guy, George, doesn't have a clue to what the heck he's talking about. He really doesn't. We get it. Nobody would want to coach the Kings. Let me explain something to you, George. If the Kings had a coaching vacancy, they would have a line going out the door to go coach this team.
No doubt. The line would be very, very long, George.
Unbelievable.
He did have a point, though, Grant, with the fact that the starter quality of player, that is what you're looking for. And Coach Yeager, in 3, 5, 7 game stints, he's trying to give guys a chance to prove themselves that they can be consistent. You bring that up. Willie Cauley-Stein goes 2, 3 games solid, double-double, just wow. And then he'll have a 2 points and 4 rebounds game. The level of consistency, and understand – there are starters in the NBA. I was one of them. I was highly consistent, but then I'd have my bad games. That happens. But you got to show a level of consistency, especially for those first 5 that go on the court.
Yeah, and right now, especially when you're talking about rookies, there are very few rookies in the history of the league, very few, that are consistent. So if you're going to start some rookies, which the Kings are doing, then you are not going to have consistency with your starting lineup. Let's just call it the way it is. When you start a 19-year-old point guard, okay, 99% of the 19-year-olds that come into the league are inconsistent.
Yep.
And guess what, folks? De'Aaron Fox is among that 99%. That's just the reality.
And the only 1% that Grant is talking about is Irving Magic Johnson. He came
correct.
In. Other than that, and he won a world championship and subbed in for Kareem and a lot of different. We're talking about probably the best point guard to ever play the game. Up and beyond that, the one thing that is consistent about this team, Grant, is the bench production. The bench production has been consistent. Whether you want to say that is because they're playing against bench players, however you say it, there has been a definitive ability for the bench. Now, it fluctuates a little bit, but number 1 in scoring or number 2 in scoring, I think it's 3 in scoring. I have to look, but they're in the top 3 in scoring. They have the ability to come in and do some things off the bench.
All right, let's get to Dan. You're on Sports 1140 KHDK. Hello, Dan.
Yeah, hey, guys. Great conversation. I was at the game where the heartbreaker where we lost the lead in the third quarter to the Clippers. My question for both of you, and I'm not a young guy, every championship team has had like a core passionate leader, a champion, an Isaiah, Magic, Bird, I hate to say Durant, a Jordan. Do we just need that one piece? I know we have the talent, albeit it's young. And I can drop off. I'm just curious to hear both your thoughts on that.
The Kings don't have to have a leader right now. They're a 5-win team. They're a rebuilding team, and that will develop over time. Now, they have some players on their team like Vince Carter, like Garrett Temple, that have no issues in leading by example and by talking to the young players. But the players you just mentioned are superstars. Kings don't have a superstar in their team, and you know, if they do have a superstar in their team, we don't know it yet because they haven't materialized. Just like when the Warriors had Steph Curry in his first 4 years, they didn't know they had a superstar because he wasn't it has to develop over time. So, you know, the issue with the Kings right now is you look at leadership or lack thereof, it's a non-issue on the Kings team. They're not good enough where you have to worry about that right now.
One other observation. So if you watch the Clippers bench, when they came back and got back into the game, all of those guys were up and cheering. And I didn't see as much as that on the Kings side. And
that's because they were being outscored 29-10.
Yeah.
And constant turnovers. That's true.
Okay, so you're not going to have – so what are they going to stand up and cheer about in that quarter? If you looked at the comeback in the final couple of minutes of the fourth quarter when the Kings were down 10 and it looked like the game was over, the entire Sacramento bench was up cheering and going nuts.
Yeah, that's true. There wasn't much to cheer about, was there, in that quarter?
No,
well,
there wasn't.
Sometimes you cheer your team on. Sometimes you get up and get on them and tell them to come on. But there's one consistent over there on the bench that I always have seen, and I give him credit, as Scal LaBissiere, whether he's on the floor or on the bench, he's always been highly positive for his team.
Hey, thanks for the call. Yeah, we appreciate it. Have a good afternoon. We appreciate you calling. Let's get to Ted. Ted, you're on the program.
Hey, guys. Just real quick on the Raiders, and I know it's a tired subject with the fight that broke out, but one thing I wasn't aware of, and I just wanted clarification on, is did Tlaib pull a chain off of him for a second time?
Yes, that's correct.
Everything broke out.
There was one last year, and there was one this year. Well, the scuffle had already began. It was part of the initial contact between Crabtree and Tlaib. So, yes, he took the chain off. And here's my question. Why are guys wearing chains on the field? Why are they wearing any jewelry on the field? Why? This is the National Football League. Jewelry should not be permitted. It should not be allowed. No one in any way, shape, or form should have any jewelry on their body when you're playing football. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
I can't disagree with that, but I also think if you're going to do that like they did last year and then it happens a second. Well, they didn't address it last year, number one, and so there was bad blood. But let's forget about that whole thing. All I want to say is I thought the defense played better for the first three quarters, and I don't know if that's because they were playing an inexperienced quarterback or if they actually were playing better because they actually looked like they knew what they were doing rather than just running around.
Well, they also had an interception. That helped.
Well, they had a very easy game plan, and the game plan was we're playing against a quarterback that's awful, and we know that he's not capable of throwing a ball down the field for so we don't even have to worry about that, and it changed their game plan. So, you know, and again, they'll have a similar game plan this week because they're taking on a team in the Giants who are incapable of scoring. They have no deep threat because their offensive line is so depleted they can't block. So they'll have the exact same game plan this week. It's almost like a duplicate game plan this week as opposed to as yesterday, whereas you're going against an inept offense that can't score, so it changes the way you play defense. You can crowd the box. You know, if you're playing the Giants this week, it's very simple. You only have to take one guy out of the game to be successful, and that's Evan Engram, their tight end, slash hybrid wide receiver. If you're able to contain him, the Giants are not going to be able to move the ball, so it's the exact same game plan. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, Grant, I would agree. This is a game that you absolutely, if you're the Raiders, you have to go in. You got to start getting some mojo. You mentioned it earlier, the fact that, you know, we were thinking, or I was thinking when I picked them to win the AFC West, that they were going to come and improve on what they did last year, and they regressed in both areas. Defensively, with only now one interception. Offensively, the inability to throw the ball, which was their staple. Obviously, the inability to run the ball, even though Marshawn only 67 yards yesterday. They were a good 67 yards when he was able to eat up clock and do some things. They're not the Raiders that we saw last year, Napes.
No, they're not. And, you know, they're not going to be this year. They're just not. They're not good enough. And does that mean they can't make the playoffs? No, it doesn't mean that. It's still a long shot. But, you know, again, they're not very good. They're just not. I don't know why anyone could watch even yesterday's game and think that the Raiders are a good team. They're not a good team. But, Grant, you know, there are a lot of teams in the NFL that are labeled that way this year.
Grant, one year, my Seahawks, they win, go to the playoffs
seven and
at
nine.
Seven and nine.
Yeah, and they beat the Saints.
They beat the Saints. What do you think that number is for the AFC West?
Right now, I think it's 8-8.
It's 8-8.
Depending on how you do in your head-to-head divisional matchups. But
okay.
I'm thinking right now, 8 wins may get you in. 9 for sure. 9 wins will win the division, but it is possible you might see 8-8 win the division.
No way we were thinking we'd be saying 8-8 with the Chiefs standing at 5-0.
No, you know what? And isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Think about
that
for a minute, right?
Yeah, go figure, man. And the Chargers starting 0-4 and now on the verge of winning the division. It's crazy.
If the Chiefs win this week on the road against the Jets, and that's a big if, but if they win, it's possible that they will have weathered a storm going home to play the Raiders, okay? If they lose this Sunday to the Jets, I think they're done, and I think the Raiders will go into Kansas City and win. All right? Now, the Chargers play Cleveland this week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they're losing to Cleveland.
No.
So they're going to win to go to 500. If the Raiders beat the Giants, they go to 500.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you have four games left, and you're 6-6. I'm thinking 8 wins probably is going to win this division this year.
Napes, when I look at the Chiefs going down the stretch, you mentioned they got the Jets, they got the Raiders, the Chargers, the Dolphins, and the Chiefs.
Yep.
If they don't beat the Jets, the only team left that they most likely will beat is the Dolphins, because you got divisional games, even though the Broncos are terrible. Yep. When it comes divisional, man, you just never know.
No, divisional games, you're exactly right. And that's why when you look at the Raiders, that game that they play in 2 weeks at Kansas City, which to me looked daunting just a few weeks ago, if the Chiefs lose Sunday at New York, they're done. They're not recovering from that. They're just not going to. I mean, they're not good. It's not going to happen. They're not all of a sudden going to lose to, you know, Buffalo. They're not going to lose to the hapless Giants, come home and lose to the bad Bills, then go on the road and beat and lose to the Jets, and then come home and turn their season around against the Raiders. Not happening. It's not going to happen. If they lose this week to the Jets, they're done. They're not rebounding from that. If the Chiefs lose to the Jets, it's coming down to the Chargers and the Raiders.
Yep, that sounds about right. And I you would have to be leaning more towards the Chargers, because we mentioned this earlier, Phillip Rivers, best quarterback in the division. I would say if you put him in a pressure type of situation, he would be the guy. Now, Carr has the capabilities, but it just hasn't been working, whereas Phillip Rivers, boy, he's a gunslinger.
And they already beat the Raiders once. And so, you know, let's just say that game is on New Year's Eve, and the Raiders go to take on the Chargers, and the Chargers are one game behind. Doesn't matter. If they win that game, they win the division, and the Raiders are out of the playoffs. So the Chargers, to me, right now, you know, and again, the Chiefs are still in the driver's seat.
Yes.
Regardless, because they're in first place by a game.
Right.
So let's just, for sake of conversation, understand that the Chiefs are in the driver's seat. But really, if you want to look at the team that between the Raiders and the Chargers, the Chargers are in the driver's seat over the Raiders because of what I just told you. The Chiefs, as long as the Chiefs are in first place, they're in first place. But I'm telling you, if they lose this week in New York, they're done. They're not coming back. You can write them off. They're not. They are in that. This will go down as one of the biggest collapses that we've seen in the National Football League.
Yeah, absolutely. And Grant, pair that with the facts that the Chargers' pass rushing defense is absolutely top notch.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly. And they're playing well. So when you put all that together, quarterback, guys making plays, defensively, they look into, not only are they solid pass rushing, but the Chiefs aren't what they were. The Raiders aren't what they were.
Right.
Boy, oh boy.
All right. So you want to talk about how quickly things change in the National Football League, okay? 3 weeks ago. Not 4 weeks, not 5 weeks, 6 weeks. 3 weeks ago, we and other people that cover the National Football League on a regular basis were talking about Alex Smith being a MVP candidate in the National Football League. And we started off this show, and you were asking me, and it's the narrative going around the country now, about would the Chiefs bench Alex Smith for Pat Mahomes? Now, think about how quickly that change. We went from, is Alex Smith the MVP of the league, along with Carson Wentz and, of course, Tom Brady, but he was in the conversation, to now, just three games later, is he going to start? Now, how crazy is that?
Grant, it doesn't get any crazier, man. This is the highs and the lows of this is. You start off 5-0, you're rolling, you know, Smith MVP, all these things. There's so many Hunt and Hill and Kelsey, and they're just doing great. And then, man, it, like they fell off a cliff. Grant, they don't even look like the same team right now.
And you talk about Travis Kelsey. That guy's a head case. And I wonder, as good as he is, I wonder how much that impacts this football team. I don't know, you know, just I'm looking at last year in the playoffs. I'm looking at his body of work. I'm looking at, you know, if he, I just wonder. I wonder if you're going to win with him. I question that. So we'll see. Hey, here's the deal. The Chiefs are like a lot of teams in this league. If they go and win one game this week on the road, then they could – underline, they could get their mojo back a little bit. But, gosh, it just right now does not – I mean, when's the last time Tyreek Hill made a big play, right? What happened to Kareem Hunt? He can't run anymore. What happened to that offensive line? What happened to your quarterback that doesn't make mistakes, that all of a sudden now they're making mistakes? I mean, it's not just one guy. There's a multitude of issues. All right, let's go to the Kansas City defense. Can't stop the run. Can't get off the field on third down. I mean, it's just – this isn't just a simple fix right now in Kansas City.
No, and it's coming fast, Grant, because – and down the stretch they come. Boy, oh boy, it's going to be good.
All right. And Herm Edwards, we're going to talk NFL football. I want to get his take on what happened here in Oakland yesterday. That's next on Sports 1140 KHTK.